Rightio, time to hear from Rugby League Royalty. Let's do this.
Cryptic song, Max.
Yes.
Have you picked it up? I haven't worked it out. No. Hunters and Collectors, Throw Your Arms.
Well, that's nickname?
Thrower.
There you go.
I was Bomb Thrower at one stage.
Was it always, was it ever formally Bomb Thrower?
Yes.
Right, so.
It was. And was just, there was an issue with that. Yeah. One night we were up in the nightclub up in, I was with a heap of Manly boys and the Goat. Anyway, and he said, Bomb Thrower, come over here. Some one of the big fellas, security, came over and said, what's going on here? He's up, champ, he's up.
Oh, he thought you were talking about...
Yeah, fair thing. It's like a plane, you know, you've mentioned the word bomb and you're off.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
And he was the same, he thought it should have hit the fan.
And so that
nearly hit me.
From that moment on, we had to drop the bomb and it's now just
throw it.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it's 10 or 15 years ago. Zorba put it on me, the Bomb Thrower, in about 1970, or it could have been the old Greek, because at that time, I think there was the old Croatians were throwing a few bombs around.
Right, yes.
So I got the Bomb Thrower.
What do you think about this joint? You look around here, the Four Pines, Rookie, Truck Bar, it's magnificent, isn't it, Max?
This is fantastic. I've been here a number of times. It's one of the best places you can go to until you have a drink, and the beer's fantastic, by the way. So, I really enjoy coming down here.
So you're sitting on that table, a couple of Manly great, and Mitchell Cox, one of the great. Do you play against Mitch?
I play with him, I think.
Yeah.
Did we play together, Mitchell? I think we did. Yeah, go way back. He came from the Raras, he did. We played together in the 70s, yeah.
I'd like to discuss this because you're going a bit thin on top.
So are you.
Yeah, I know. But Mitchell's got the thickest hair, but it's very, very grey. It's like Bill Clinton like. Would you rather have thick grey hair or no hair?
Yeah, I've got to say no hair. Or a rug.
Yeah. Look, take Matty's rug.
Oh, yeah. What about the small man's T-shirt he's got on?
Oh, they love that. Hey, Maxie, we asked the same of Cliffy before. If there's a modern-day player that you'd love to play with right now, if you could play alongside a player, you could serve it up to somebody, who would that be?
Okay, good one. It'd be a good front rower.
Can't be a Manly player.
No, good front rower. Big, tough bloke. I actually like Hetherington from...
Jack from Canterbury.
Because he takes no shortcomings. He likes to bash a few blokes.
Yeah.
And in the old days when we were playing, whoever could bash the best usually won the game. So, that's the way it goes. Like, I had Randall and John O'Neill at one stage. We had Malcolm Reilly with us. So, a bit of thuggery always helps. You know.
We saw in February this year, we saw the All-Stars, the boxing All-Stars.
Yeah.
Going back to those gentlemen you just mentioned... How do you think they would go in the ring fighting against the blokes we saw last night?
Malcolm would beat them all with one hand.
Yep.
Yeah. Terry couldn't hold his hands up. He was extremely tough. Extremely tough, Terry. Ian Thompson held his hands up good. There's a lot of blokes that could hold their hands up in those days, but Donnie McKinnon was very good with his hands as well.
Yes.
Yeah, he could throw them. Yeah, he used to back away. You pick your mark.
We're chatting with the legendary Max Krillich. Now, Maxie, a lot of people, the younger listeners, I suppose, wouldn't be aware of the Vibro versus Silvertail battle. How would you sum that up?
Very violent.
Yeah. And what started it all?
Very well orchestrated by...
Roy?
Roy. Mm-hmm. Very clever man, Roy. He had a team that didn't know if they were going to be good or bad, and he got them into this warfare state, particularly how Tommy, drumming Tommy up and Dallas and a few of the guys. So, and Tommy was at his best in those days, and Tommy was a fantastic bloke to play with, but honestly, the play against him was a nightmare because he was a dirty little prick, he was. Anyway, he. And I think he got the best out of them. But the only thing is, in the Fire Race and Silver Tails, the show, the movie, or whatever you would call it, he spoke about how when they got to the Sydney Cricket Ground, it was too much of an occasion for them, and they didn't handle a big occasion.
Yeah.
Maybe because their playing strength got them to a level, but couldn't get them to the next level. But they had some terrific players, in those days with them. So it was in certain ways, I didn't mind playing in those games, to be honest. I liked a good old tough game because I had a good tough bunch of blokes around me. That's the good thing about it.
Can I say, going into a game like that, when you know it's going to be on, do you have to psych yourself up 3 or 4 days out? Like, when you know it's going to be on in the first scrum, or in those days, was it on every scrum?
No, not on every scrum, because the referee would actually let a couple of blues go on, and he'd say the next blue. There's a lot of guys sent off in our games, by the way, in those days. They used to, there was a lot of guys sent off. You know, Randall and Johnny Gray got sent off a number of times. You know, Steve Knight got sent off a few times against his old club, Western Suburbs. So, you know, and there's a few guys from, one guy was Bruce, you know, I won't say his name, was actually gouging me one day, and a big blue started. And I said to Hartley, I said, this bloke's gouging me. And he said, if he does it again, you're me ill. And he started again, and Hartley got on his knees and had a look under the scrum. And while he's on one knee, he sent this fellow off. I won't say his name. Yeah. But anyway, he had his hands right into my eyeballs and giving me a old tug.
you just say it like nonchalantly.
Oh, yeah, but that's the way the game was.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest, I enjoyed that. You know, I didn't enjoy the violence part didn't worry me. I grew up on the wrong side of Brookvale. There's a good side over here and a bad side. I grew up on this bad side.
Right.
And luckily, I learned to get on the other side. So I grew up on the rough side of the road. Yeah. So it didn't worry me. It didn't worry me at all. In fact, I enjoyed it.
We're on the right side of the road here, boys, aren't we? At Four Pines.
This is down the right side of the road.
We're on the right side of the road. Don't worry about that.
There's no Four Pines here.
Now, Maxi, you are looking so fit, my friend. You've kept your health. You've kept your fitness. You're looking amazing. Therefore, if you're down at the course, so as you, Tommy Turbo, over 50, how much start do you need?
One day in England, I tell you, with Tommy Turbo, Rocket Ready, and he was my roommate on two tours, right? So his mouth and I, yeah, like Rocket could have the best. And we had a 40-metre sprint, and he dived to try and beat me to get over the try line, 40-metre Rocket. So he was a bit of a slug. I reckon over 40 metres, he'd have to give me 10 metres.
10 metres?
Yeah, I reckon I still get it.
I like that.
With the bodgy hemi or when he's fully fit?
With both. Yeah, the bodgy pull bugger. Yeah.
So the manly gift would be Harry off scratch, Turbo off one, Maxi off about
9 or 10. Yeah. But I'd win then. I'd get the break as well.
Yeah, that's right. So, who's your favourite manly player?
Fulton.
All-time manly player.
Yeah, best player I've played with. I played with a lot of good players.
What was it about Bozo, though? Like, for the people who didn't get to see Bozo play, why was he so good? And who does he remind you most of the current players? Is there a comparison?
Probably not really. Yeah, that's why those immortals are immortals.
Yes, not replicated.
They did everything in the game. And that's why Wally Lewis and Chang and Raper, Churchill, Gasnier, Mal... They could do everything in the game. They weren't over the top, but just in their strengths, in defence, was attack, this, they all kick, they could all do everything, you know. I believe the best player I ever saw was Johnny Raper.
Wow.
Even to this day.
Yep.
In a test match one day in 63, Australia won the Ashes for the first time. And they scored 10 or 12 tries, some ridiculous amount of tries. And he was involved in, he scored two and he was involved in 8 of them.
Wow.
No one does that. No. No one does that. Now, he was just, and that was when Duggery was at it, playing the Pommies in 63. Oh, yeah, please.
They didn't have the 10-metre rule then. They were on top of each other.
And you can't run without your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, so let me ask you this. Sorry, Fletch. Let me ask you this before we move off that topic. Max Krillage can put one more person into the Immortals. Who's the person that you would add? There's so many greats waiting there. Who would you throw in?
Going back, because I think the younger brigade will come through, I think Steve Rogers.
Right.
Sludge. Sludge could do everything in the game. He was one of those blokes. He could, honestly, great runner, great defender, would flatten you.
Yeah.
Would play with a bit of crap in his game as well, if he had to play with a bit of crap. He could kick the ball. He could do everything in the game. And one day I was at a reunion, Kangaroo reunion, there was 10 of us on the table, and I think 6 of the 10 guys all thought Sludge should have been the Immortal.
Wow.
But then blokes like Ronnie Coote, I'm going back now.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say Solid, he'd be up there. And the present crop, I think definitely when Cameron Smith comes up, he'll definitely go through. But there's a couple of blokes, one the Queensland 5-1, they can't say his name. He was a bit of a speed bump.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
So if you're a speed bump, how do you become an immortal?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So all the immortals, you try to run a Joey Johns, it flattened you.
Yeah. So. Hey, Max, the 1982 Invincibles, arguably the best team.
Arguably.
And you were the captain.
Lucky, yeah.
What were they like? What was that? Was there a lot of egos in that team? Because they were just a superstar team. How did you handle off on the field and off the field?
I was talking to Ken Arthurson yesterday about this, because when we went away on the trip, on our second training session, there was 28 players, and we all had a tackling drill, and the bag up one inch, so 14. And there was, and Alfie Richards had to hold the bag for one guy, for Brett Kenny, because one guy, the King, didn't want to train. And he thought he was then the King, but he was only probably a prince or a pauper. Anyway, and Frank Stan put him in his place. Like, he didn't make the sides. And no one knew how good Brett Kenny was going to be, by the way. He was a fantastic player, Brett Kenny.
Yeah.
And while he sulked around for quite a while, and Frank brought him back to the field, because he was up in Queensland at that time. You know, he called him the King when he was 20 years of age. You know,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
You know, he turned out to be one of the best players ever, by the way. But
yeah.
You know, at that time,
they jumped the gun.
Jumped the gun, way jumped the gun.
Maxi Krilich, you've taken us down memory lane, mate. It's an absolute
pleasure. Thanks, Max.